morning. Welcome all to this morning sheer schmooze and on this legal holiday. Rabbi Schaefer needs no introduction, as the schmoozin are famous worldwide. We actually had the privilege of having one a year ago, in the 3 weeks, and I actually made more CDs, and they flew off the rack like hotcakes. So, Be'ezus Hashem, after, for those that miss it, we're going to have also CDs as well. These are box of books that we gave it out actually last time, and we had a request to give it out again. We're giving it out free for anybody who joined the schmooze. Without any further delay, Rabbi Schaefer Shlita, how to be able to prepare for Rosh Hashanah.
Thank you. I hope you excuse me for using a mic, but I just, it's a lot easier for me. The Malachi Ashores ask a question. They look down on the Klal Yisrael, on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, and they notice that something's missing from the tefillah. It has all the elements of a Yom Tov davening, has all the parts of a typical part of the Jewish year, but there's one part of the davening that's lacking. There's no Hallel, not on Rosh Hashanah, not on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara in Brachos tells us that the Malachi Ashores asks this question, "Bitnei ma ein omrim shira on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur?" They ask this question to Kadosh Baruch Hu, why doesn't the Klal Yisrael sing Hallel? And the Gemara tells us that Hashem answers, "Sifrei Chaim v'Sifrei Mavis besukim lefanav." Books of life, the books of death, are open in front of them. Yom Roshira, they're going to sing Hallel, praise, jubilation. It's not appropriate. They're being judged for life or death. It's way too severe. And to that reason, the Gemara brings, and this is brought la'alacha, this is the reason why Hallel is not part of the davening on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And I'd like to ask what I consider the obvious question on this Gemara. You and I, made out of flesh and blood, living in a very, very dark, very, very obscured way, don't get it. I don't get life. I don't understand that I have a limited amount of time here, and I certainly don't understand that my life, my very existence, is being judged. But this Gemara is not discussing you and I asking this question. There are 10 groups of Malachim. The Rambam tells us the most celestial, the highest, most pure, holiest are the Malachi Ashores. With brilliance and understanding, they get everything. They understand everything. So how could they ask such a question? Isn't it obvious? Of course the Klal Yisrael aren't going to sing Shira, Hallel. It's a Yom HaDin. They're being judged for their life. Why did they ask the Kasha and Hashem to answer them? The question is, what was the Malachim's question? And I believe that if we focus on the issues of Rosh Hashanah and the issues that we and the world are judged on, I think we'll get a much better understanding as to exactly why the Malachi Ashores asked this question. And to do that, let's focus on exactly that point. What happens on Rosh Hashanah? From the global to the local, every issue facing mankind is judged, weighed, and measured. Which countries will go to war, and which countries will suffer famine, which economies will expand, which ones will contract, which part of the country will be devastated by hurricanes, typhoons, which new diseases will suddenly appear that never existed before, which new cures will be discovered, which new technologies. If you understand that Hashem is the shofate, you have to understand one simple point. You can imagine Hashem as the judge looking at that multi-tiered chessboard, putting this pawn into position, this bishop where it should be, arranging mankind's fate. If you'd really like to understand the issues on Rosh Hashanah, all you have to know is that the headlines of the New York Times are written on Rosh Hashanah. But it's not just the headlines of that day's newspaper. The headline of every day of the coming year. And that means the international section, the national section, the local section. The New York Times, about 10 years ago, bragged about having 350 full-time reporters, 40 full-time photographers. Because on this globe, occupied by 7.5 billion people, There are a lot of issues, a lot of things going on. If you were to read the New York Times Sunday edition, it has 4 times the amount of words as the entire Tanakh. It would take you 20 hours, but that's 1 week's newspaper. Because there are a lot of issues going on, a lot of things, each one intertwined with the other, each one affecting the other. And if you understand that Hashem judges on Rosh Hashanah every single issue of the coming year, every single event, you begin to get a slight eye glimpse. But if you'd like to understand a little bit better the issues on Rosh Hashanah, the Bali Musar make a diuk. The Sana Tokef, which was written very, very early on by Tanoim, is a very exact lashon. Rosh Hashanah Yekasev, Yom Tzom Kippur Yechaseimun, Kama Yavrun Bekama Yivareimun. First, in a global sense, how many will be born, how many will pass. Then Mi Yichye Umi Yomus. If you'd like to understand how Hashem judges the world, it's first in a very macro level. Every year in the United States of America, approximately 2.5 million people die. Approximately 600,000 by heart attack, approximately 500,000 by cancer, going down the list. First, Hashem decrees the future of that Medina. How many will pass? How many will be born? And then if it could be, Hashem fills in the slots. You fit into this group. You fit into this group. And if you understand that every single issue facing humanity is being weighed, measured, decided, you begin to understand on a slight level the issues of the day. We, the Jewish nation, have a unique position. We are avodim, we're servants of Hashem, but we're also banim, we're also children. And during the course of the year, I believe that your hair should stand on end. When you see such a complex world, such a vast world, such wonders, and you hear people say the world, it's a lucky roll of the cosmic dice. You hear atheists and you hear people say things. It should be an affront. That's my creator. That's Hashem who you're insulting. It's God's world. Don't you see the wisdom? And during the course of the year, there should be a sense of unbridled anger when we hear such words. But between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I think there's a very different sense that we should have. Chazal tell us, and it's brought l'alacha, we no longer say Hakel HaKadosh. We say HaMelech HaKadosh. And not only do we have to say HaMelech HaKadosh, if from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, you refer to Hashem as Hakel HaKadosh, you're not Yotze. You didn't fulfill Ishman Esrei. Why? Because Hashem has no limitation. Hashem has no body. Hashem is not limited by any human or any physical dimension. The only way we relate to Hashem is in the way that Hashem manifests itself in the world. During the course of the year, Hashem acts as Hakel HaKadosh, the God way, way behind the scenes, way, way hidden, running the world, arranging things, but hidden behind a veil. From Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, Hashem no longer acts that way. Hashem acts as a Melech HaKadosh, and Mishnah Berurah brings down the Halacha, because that's the time when Hashem shows Mamshalso, Hashem shows His dominion, Umalchuso, and His reign. You could feel it, you could sense it. No longer is Hashem acting as the hidden God. Hashem is acting as the Shofet, as the Melech. And the reason why you're not Yotzei Shmoneh Esrei is because you're not talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're talking to Zeus, you're talking to Mercury. But Hashem is now acting as the Melech. That's the way Hashem is manifesting Himself. And if you refer to Hashem as Hakel HaKadosh, you miss the mark. And the point is that from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, there's a very different experience that you and I can and should feel. We should experience Hashem as the Melech, here, present, judging, deeming who shall continue, who shall not, what issues should be. And the Pele Yoetz gives a mushel. He says, imagine that I'm standing with my eyes closed, and someone brings a candle. Now, I can't see the flame because my eyes are closed, but I sense the light, I'm aware of it. That's Hashem's presence from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, far more accessible, far more available. It's very difficult to daven during the course of the year. It's almost like you have to really, really struggle. But during Elul, it's very different. And certainly from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, it's way, way easier. Hashem is far more accessible, far more available. You could feel Hashem's presence. And when you recognize that, there should be an overwhelming sense within you of joy, of happiness. It's so difficult normally to see Hashem. It's so difficult normally to recognize Hashem. And from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, those 10 days, I could experience Hashem much more clearly, much more palpably. I could really begin to get it. And a Jew should think about many, many issues during Aser Shemei Tshuva. Number one, that Hashem is the Melech running the world. And that should bring us to an extreme sense of joy, of happiness. Finally, Hashem is acting as the judge. Finally, justice will be done. Finally, every Russia who opened his mouth and threatened the Jewish nation, for whatever reason, will be put in his place. And it should be an unbridled sense of joy, of jubilation, of happiness when the Jew, when he walks into shul on Rosh Hashanah. And I believe that's exactly what the Malachim were asking. Why isn't Hallel part of Rosh Hashanah davening? The Jews can feel, they can experience Hashem as the Melech. They can reach heights that they can't reach during the rest of the year. Why aren't they singing Shir Shevach Vodah? And the Malachi Asharis asked that question because the question is correct. Nevertheless, Hashem answers, while it may be true, it has to be held in check. The simcha, the joy should be there, but it has to be held in check because at the end of the day, it is a very grave and very serious time period. My future, the future of my family, the future of my community, the future of mankind is being decided. And I believe both hergeshim should be there. When a Jew walks into shul on Rosh Hashanah, there should be a tremendous sense of joy, happiness. I get to finally get it. I get to finally experience Hashem. I get to finally understand that Hashem acts as the judge about every issue in the coming year. But it has to be held in check because, again, it's my future, my family, my community, mankind. But both emotions should be there. Rav David Kronglass, Mashkiach of Ner Yisrael, many years ago said, on Yom Kippur, if it weren't for the Emas HaDin, he'd be in the aisle dancing a Rikud. If it weren't for the fact that he was being judged, he'd be in the aisle dancing. Because what a Jew can experience, can reach on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, Aser Shemei Tshuva, is unmatched in any other day, any other time of the year. And I believe that both emotions should be there. And so with that as an introduction, I'd like to ask the obvious question. We're all maminim. We all get it. We all understand how much money I make this year, my health, my well-being, my children, my wife, everything of my world is being decided. We get it. And we understand that Hashem listens to tefillah. We're told over and over, from Moshe Rabbeinu down to Nevi'im, to the Chazal, to the Rishonim, to the Rechonim, over and over, daven, daven, ask. Hashem waits for our tefillah. Hashem listens to tefillah. So if I know that Hashem runs the world, and I know that Hashem listens to tefillah, wouldn't you imagine that my Rosh Hashanah davening would be incredible, hour after hour, tears running down my cheek, imploring, pleading, begging, Hashem, please. And while it is true that Rosh Hashanah davening is different than davening during the rest of the year, I'm not sure hour after hour of begging, imploring, tears running down my cheeks is exactly an apt description for most people's Shemona Esrei. So here's the question. How could it be? If I get it, if I know that Hashem runs the world, if I know that my future is being decided, and I know my tefillah can have a tremendous impact on my health, well-being, how much money I make, how much success I'll have or won't have, on my children, on my wife, if I get it, how's it chance that I'm not begging, imploring, treating, how's it chance that I'm not davening hour after hour with tears in my eyes? And I believe that there are two answers to this question. There are two reasons why it is very difficult for us to daven on Rosh Hashanah. The first reason is somewhat solvable. The second reason why it's difficult for us to daven is much more difficult to deal with. So let's deal with the first reason why I believe it's difficult to daven on Rosh Hashanah. We live in unique times. Never in the course of history has there been this much wealth, this much excess, this much luxury available to the common man. You and I, taxpaying citizens in this country, live in a status of luxury and opulence that kings 300 years ago could not envision or imagine. I've compared my house to Lord Rothschild's house. Lord Rothschild, the first of the Rothschilds, he was a financier of Europe, one of the wealthiest men of his generation, lived in a nice home. It did not rival my Muncie home. My walls are taller and straighter. I have also running water in my house. I even have electricity. He was living in the late 1700s. He didn't have those things. But the physical opulence of me, a regular person's setting, is far greater than one of the wealthiest men living 250, 300 years ago. And if you look around, you see that we have extraordinary wealth. And that is a bracha that's incredible. And while it is a bracha, it also comes with a certain liability. You see, when you really, really have everything, it's difficult to daven. It's difficult to say the words, Hashem, I lack. Hashem, I don't have. Hashem, I need you. I can't make it alone. I have a friend of mine whose father was a Rav in New York City right around the Depression era. And he describes that every Rosh Chodesh, by Rosh Chodesh benching, when they got to the part of Parnassa, he would hear women from the other side of the Mechitza break down in open wails, crying out loud. Why? Because in those days, when you didn't pay your rent, the landlord took all of your property, put it on the sidewalk, and that's where you and your kids slept that night. There was no social network. There was no one to bail you out. If you didn't pay your bills, you were left out on the street. Now, don't get me wrong. We worry about things today, but it's juggling the bills, juggling the credit cards. But I don't know of a person my age or younger who ever went to bed hungry. We live with such luxury, such opulence, that it's very difficult to recognize that we're really, really needy. And it's very difficult to say the words, Hashem, I need you. I cannot make it without you. And because it is a bracha of unparalleled proportions, but it does come with a liability, I believe that's the first reason why it's difficult to daven on Rosh Hashanah. But this problem is not so difficult to solve. If you'd like to solve this problem, I have a very simple observation to share with you. The Granat of Naftali, Amsterdam, Rosh Shiva of pre-World War II Europe, was once approached Slichas night by a balabas. One of the balabatim came over and said, Rosh Shiva, how could I say these words? How could I say these words? Kedolim uchirashim defaknu delasecha. Hashem, we bang on your door like poor, impoverished men. How could I say that? I have 700 men in my employ. I'm a wealthy balabas. How could I lie? How could I say to Hashem that I'm poor when I'm so rich? And the Granat looked at this man and said, you're making one mistake. You're assuming that because on last Rosh Hashanah you got a gzar din, a decree that this Rosh Hashanah, this year, you'll keep your money. You assume that you're going to get the same psak this year as well. But if you understood that that's an open question, if you understood that whether you keep your money or don't is an open question and there are no chazakas, there are no guarantees, you'd understand that you are a dal and a rash because you have nothing. You have no guarantee. Your very essence is being decided. Certainly your wealth. And there are no guarantees. And I believe that the Granat is sharing with us that you're sowed for dealing with every issue of our life. I'm young and healthy. Yeah, and you find about plenty of young and healthy people get hit by a car and they're not so young and healthy anymore. Something healthy. And I have a beautiful business. Parnassa. I don't have to worry about Parnassa. And then you find out that there's a change in the economy or Best Buy opens right down the block from your flagship store, and all of a sudden it's no longer what it used to be like. And if you realize that every issue of my life is an open question, and there are no guarantees, just because this past year has been great, I've been healthy, I've been well, I've shown bias, and my kids, everything's great, that's wonderful. But every one of those questions is an open question, and there are no guarantees. Just because last Rosh Hashanah I got a good gzar din doesn't mean I'm going to get it again. And understanding that allows us to understand that we are kedolim and chirashim. Now, gentlemen, I'll share with you. I used to have to tell people the following. If you'd really like to work on Rosh Hashanah, open up the newspaper to the obituary section. Now, I used to have to explain to people where the obituary section is. Now I have to explain to people what a newspaper is. But however you get your news, open, you'll find a section called the obituary section. And you'll find in that week's worth of people who are no longer here. And you'll find an incredible reality. You'll find every sort of person. every sort of age, every sort of education, every sort of level of success, and you'll find only one tzad hashava shebekulam, you'll find only one common denominator. Every one of them used to be alive and are no longer. But other than that, you will not find anything that they all share in common. Because it's true, most of the time, older people die. But plenty and plenty of younger people die. Many, many very, very successful human beings no longer are here. Many wealthy people, many poor people, many short people, many tall people, many fat people, many skinny people. Look through each one of the pictures, read the little paragraph, and you'll find that every walk of person, every sort of human being was and is no longer. And then you take that most critical step that a human being could ever have, and you say, I too am a human being. I too, made of flesh and blood, will have my last year. I hope it's many, many years from now. I hope Hashem will grant me much, much time on this planet. But there will come a time when it will be my last Rosh Hashanah, and I don't know when it is. And when you realize that single reality, that my life, my existence, my parnasa, my shalom bayis, my health, my children, every issue is an open question, and there are no guarantees. You begin to realize there's a lot to daven for. There's a lot to daven for, and we are daven for Hashem. And then you say the words, Hashem, I can't do it. I cannot determine market realities. I cannot control the stock market. I cannot control whether India takes over this industry. I cannot control federal regulations. Hashem, it's way, way beyond me. I recognize you're the creator, one who runs the world. Upon you I am dependent. Hashem, please help. And that tefillah will take you a long, long way to growing. And if the first reason why it's difficult for us to daven Rosh Hashanah is because it's hard to recognize that we're really, really needy, understanding exactly what the Granat says, that every issue of our life is an open question and there are no chazakas, is the solution. You just have to process it. You have to work it through each area of your life. And by the way, even if you're happily married, I spoke to a man who was married for 16 years. He told me he didn't know what a shalom bayis issue was. He didn't even know what an issue was. He lost his job. He changed. She changed. 6 months later, he was divorced. No longer. And you realize things happen. Things occur. And you realize there are no chazakas. You daven to Hashem. You ask for His help. And so the first reason why it's difficult to daven is hard to realize how dependent we are. That one's solvable. But it's a second reason why it's much more difficult for us to daven Rosh Hashanah. And the second reason is not so easily solved. What is the second reason? The second reason is that we are going to be Omid Bidin, with Hashem, in 2 weeks, Wednesday. We'll start, and we're going to stand in judgment. But that judgment is different than any other judgment that you or I or any human being will ever experience. Let me explain what I mean. A number of years ago, the U.S. judicial system was on trial. O.J. Simpson had murdered his wife. Anyone who was even paying faint attention understood he killed his wife in cold blood. There wasn't a question to any intelligent, rational person. However, he was a wealthy sports star. He hired the Dream Team, including Alan Dershowitz. And the U.S. court system was being held on trial, could money buy freedom? And it was a mockery of justice. It just so happens to be that month after month of the trial was being covered by the papers, and the jury was deliberating. And again, it just so happened to be that they were going to read the verdict right around Rosh Hashanah. And I remember saying to myself, I must see the scene. I parked myself in front of a TV, and I watched the following. The jury foreman stood up. She opens the envelope. And you have to understand something. O.J. Simpson is gripping the table. He's white as a ghost. His entire future, whether it's going to be a caged animal or walk free, is now being decided. The jury foreman opens the envelope. She takes out the piece of paper. She reads the words. We find the defendant not guilty. Whoa! His face lit up. And the joy, the exuberance. That is judgment in this world. Fact-finding, deliberation, The verdict is read. The plaintiff, the judge, the jury, everyone in the court hears the reading of the judgment. We, Mitzvah Hashem, will be Omid Din in about a little more than 2 weeks, and there will be fact-finding. There will be much information gathered, and there will be positions offered, there will be deliberation, and there will be a verdict read. But the problem is we don't hear the verdict. We don't hear. We don't know what the verdict is. We walk out of shul or Hashanah, L'Sham Tova, Tikasev, Tichasim, L'Al B'chaim, we dip the apple in a honey, and we're all so happy. But we don't know. We don't have a clue. And the reason why we don't hear a clue is because we don't hear the reading of the verdict. We trust in Hashem's mercy, and we're supposed to wear Yom Tov clothing, not quite the same as a full Yom Tov, but we're supposed to wear Begodim Na'im. We're supposed to shower, get dressed properly for Yom Tov, because we trust in the din, but we do not know. And I'd like to share with you an interesting observation. If you daven in a shul large enough, I guarantee there will be many beautiful, beautiful decrees. A young woman who couldn't get married for 10 years, this year she'll find her share. A couple who for 15 years couldn't have children, this year they'll have children. A man who couldn't find his parnasa, this year will be different. I guarantee you, down in a large enough tzibur, there'll be many beautiful decrees signed on this Rosh Hashanah, sealed in Yom Kippur. But I also guarantee, if you're down in a shul large enough, there'll also be many decrees that are not so sweet. Many people who will become sick that year, many people who lose their parnasa. And I guarantee that if you're down in a shul large enough, there'll be at least one or two exes. One or two people who have an X over their head, they will not be with us in the coming Rosh Hashanah. The problem is we don't hear it. We walk out of shul, wish each other a good Yom Tov, we're b'teach that Hashem is going to judge us mercifully, but we don't hear the reading of the verdict. And the second reason why it's so difficult to daven Rosh Hashanah is because it's so hard to feel the din. I don't see it. I don't experience it. It's done in Shemayim. My neshama relates to it on some level. But I, my conscious, alert mind, I don't hear the reading of the verdict. I'm not aware of it. And this second reason why it's difficult for us to daven is because we don't hear the reading of the verdict. And the Koch Ve'or gives us an Eitzah. He says, if you want to really use Rosh Hashanah properly, he says, most people make a mistake. They come into Shul Rosh Hashanah and they say, oh my goodness, so many issues in this coming year I need help with. So many things, I need good chavrusas, I need my children. So many things a person begins to think about this coming year. How many things I have to ask Hashem for? Says the Kofar, you got it backwards. Don't go forward. You want to really understand what's happening in Rosh Hashanah? Go backwards. Review your past year. Go over every of those strange sort of events. You happen to meet this guy in the right time and he said the right line. Oh, it's Bashert. You were walking up the stairs in the wrong time, you tripped and you broke your leg. Review all those strange things that happened to you during the past year. And then say to yourself, I get it. Every one of those events was decreed on the previous Rosh Hashanah. And then the din becomes real. Because it's my life. It's my existence. It's the things that happened to me. And I realize on the previous Rosh Hashanah, those things were decreed. Then the din becomes real. And have a little Eitzah. If you would like to really change your Rosh Hashanah, change your life, take two index cards. You have 2 weeks plus now. On one index card, write down all of those strange things that happened to you during the past year. Every time you said the words, it's Bashert, it's Ashkach, it's Hashem, write them down. Write them down on one card. By the way, if you're really paying attention, it won't take a card, it'll take a deck of cards. But write them down. And then on the other card, write down all the things that you need help with in the coming year. And it's going to be every detail of your life, every relationship, every situation, everything you're involved in. Take both of these cards into shul. This card that has everything that happened the past year, you say to yourself, I get it. On the previous Rosh Hashanah, it was decreed, every one of these. And now you have this card and you say, every one of these is decided now. And then you daven. You implore, you beg, you entreat, you begin to get it. Yomim Noraim are the most beautiful, glorious, days of our year. I cannot tell you how many times, sometime in Cheshvan, I wake up and say, what was my problem? Why didn't I capitalize? Why didn't I use it? Those are sale days. It's so much easier to daven in Elul. It's so much easier to really speak to Hashem. It's so much easier to learn. But you have to capture the moment. You have to grab it. But whatever a person can accomplish in Elul is but a warm-up to what happens between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Because those days are way, way more... Hashem is available, Hashem is accessible. It's just so much easier to grow, to get things, to understand things. And a person can grow, can accomplish. Yeah, you should be motivated because you need a lot of things. But you have to understand that everything that we need, Hashem could grant us like that. The only thing that Hashem wants is one thing, for us to grow, for us to change, for us to become greater human beings. Our problem is we're steeped in this very, very dark, heavy cloak. And I don't get it. I don't see that Hashem runs the world. I don't recognize the value of mitzvahs. I'm spaced out. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are different days. Sarei Shemei Tshuva are very, very different. A Jew can experience, a Jew can relate to, a Jew can understand what life is about. And one of the greatest catalysts of growth is, number one, recognizing my needs. Saying to Hashem, you are the Borei Olam, you are the Manhig of the world. You run the world, I get it. And saying to Hashem, I cannot control my destiny. I do not control outcomes, you do. That cognition is one of the greatest life-changing understanding a being can ever have. And I believe what the Malachi Asharis was saying to Hashem is very correct and very accurate. A Jew should walk into Shul or Shoshana Yom Kippur with joy in his heart, understanding and recognizing Hashem, seeing Hashem in the world, and it should be an overwhelming sense of, wow, this is astonishing. And a Jew should be desirous of singing Shira. Hallel should be something that's on his lips. Nevertheless, Hashem answered the Malachi Asharis that it's true. Simcha, joy, appreciation, growth, that's certainly part of the day, but it has to be tempered, it has to be held in check, because it is a day of extreme gravity. The future of yourself, your community, your family is being decided, so it's not appropriate. But both hergeshim should be there. Tremendous joy, held in check with the emes adin, both emotions are real. And if you say that it's difficult to daven, you are right. It's always difficult to daven because I am flesh and blood. I live in this heavy cloak. And my radio is broken. I can't perceive Hashem. I don't see Hashem right here. If I did, believe me, I'd pass out in the middle of Shemona Esrei. But I don't. But Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, it's very different. And if the first reason why it's difficult to daven is because we don't recognize how needy we are, that's the Ganach's answer. Dolim Ukaroshim. Don't assume because last year you had a decree of great success, you're going to have the same decree. Every issue of your life is an open question. Every issue of your coming year is being decided, and there are no guarantees. With that understanding, you daven. And the second reason why it's difficult to daven, again, is because it's very hard for us to see the din because we don't hear it. And the way you see the din is by reviewing your past year and maybe go back a little bit. Those strange events that change your life, whether it be who you married and how you got married, whether it be what yeshiva you were in, review. Review the strange events of your life. Every Jew has a story. I think every Jew could write a book. Review your life story and say to yourself, I get it. Every one of those events was written on the Rosh Hashanah before it. And now I recognize that this Rosh Hashanah, every event of my coming year and my future is being decided. And with that, you have a very, very different understanding of the day. With that, you have a great understanding of your dependence on Hashem. And with that, you use the days to grow, to accomplish, to be Dovek to Hashem. They are beautiful days, but you have to prepare. There is, Baruch Hashem, enough time left to prepare, but you have to actually do it. You have to actually do the exercises. And I want to close with a story that I'm very fond of. I'm very fond of the story because it's a beautiful story and it happened to a friend of mine. And every detail of it is true, except he asked me not to use his name. He asked me to change his name. Other than that, everything is exactly as it happened. Chaim Goldstein, we'll call him, was learning in Kollel. His young family were living in Kew Gardens. His brother-in-law was living in Forest Hills, a few miles away. And both families had made up that they were going to be by Chaim's house for Shabbos. Chaim's wife's cooking Thursday night. When she's all finished cooking, her sister calls up and says, you know, my husband came home late and he's very tired. We decided we're not coming to you for Shabbos. Chaim's wife says, come on, I've cooked already. Do come, don't come, back and forth. And finally, Chaim's wife says, listen, I prepared Shabbos already anyway. Let's do this. I'll pack up all the food. And instead of everybody being by me, we'll all be by you. So kacha, that's what they made up. They packed up the family, packed up the food. And both families, instead of being by Chaim, that Shabbos were by his brother-in-law. Chaim describes that when he walked into his brother-in-law's house, on the coffee table was a book, Who by Fire. I don't know if you've had a chance to read this book, but this book is the story of a young woman living in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. She's in her apartment, and suddenly the apartment bursts into flame. She runs out, finds herself in the hallway, safe, untouched. And when she's in the hallway, she realizes that her children are still in the apartment. She runs in, grabs one, runs in, grabs a second, grabs a third. She saved all her children, but in the end, she suffered burns on 85% of her body. The title of the book, Who by Fire, because it's not just Miyichia or Miyomos, but how. It's a beautiful story of a woman's bitachon of her amunah, but it's also a harrowing read because you see the suffering she went through and you understand what it means to be burnt alive. In any case, Chaim describes that he picked up the book and he was mesmerized. He couldn't put it down. He's a real masmid. In Shabbos, he'd be chazering, he'd be learning. He could not put this book down. He read it cover to cover. He didn't think much about it, but Shabbos Mincha, he walks into Yeshiva, comes into Beis Medrash, takes a sitter, takes his place by the daven. He looks up and he notices that everyone is looking at him. In the tie, my suit, why are they looking? Doesn't think about it much. Daven's Shemoneh Esrei, takes 3 steps back, looks up again and notices that everyone's looking at him. Doesn't know what to make of it. Right after davening, he goes over to a friend of his and says, what's the trouble? Why is everybody staring at me? His friend said, you didn't hear? Chaim said, no, hear what? His friend said, well, I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, but last night your house burnt down. 2 a.m., the furnace in the basement erupted into flames. The entire 3-family house was engulfed in flame. Chaim, his wife, his kids were untouched because they weren't there. They were by the brother-in-law. But the pivotal moment in Chaim's life was not that previous Thursday night. Not the do come to my house, don't come, I'll pack up the food, uh-uh. The pivotal moment in Chaim's life was the previous Rosh Hashanah. Read the book. Mi ba'esh u mi ba'mayim. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem judges. And Chaim was being sent a message. There was a diyun the previous Rosh Hashanah. For whatever which reason, you and your family were saved from it, but this was the judgment, this was the issue. Read the details. Gentlemen, we are a little bit spaced out. Sometime during Musaf, I love it with that moment when you get that, I hope my wife made good hopes this again this week, because last session wasn't so good. And what am I thinking? Do you understand that every issue of my future, everything is being weighed, measured, and decided? If I was standing in front of my boss for a raise, I would not be yawning. I mean, not thinking about what I'm having for lunch. And it is difficult. I think the solution to davening is understanding. Number one, I am dependent. Every issue of my life is being donned. And number two, understanding that every issue of my previous years has been judged on a previous Rosh Hashanah. With those understandings, I take that into the Rosh Hashanah davening. I daven like a Jew should. I beg, I implore, I entreat. I change my coming year. More than anything, I change myself. May Hashem grant us much, much hatzlacha. I want to thank the Beis Medrash. I want to thank Rabbi Shiner. This is a great, great program here. I love it. I also want to mention that there are CDs available. They're free. It's called The Lost Art of Tshuva. It's 9 shiurim on the tshuva process. Actually, 6 of them are shmuzim that I said in the past on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And the last 3 are the Hichlas Tshuva Bootcamp. We have CDs here. They're all available free of charge. I also want to mention, don't go on the internet. If you do, go to theshmuz.com. You have to remember, it's spelled funny, theshmuz.com. Marketing brilliance, right? Heinz ketchup. Right? That's what it is, right? No, I'm a yeshiva guy. It's how you spell shmuz. Anyway, after the car magnets came out, my daughter told me, it's S-C-H-M-O-Z. Everyone knows that, right? Well, I didn't know. Okay, anyway. So all the shmuz are available. You can download them, you can podcast them. Do not get a smartphone. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you do, get the Shmooze app for iPhone and for Android. All you have to remember, again, it's spelled funny, T-H-E-S-H-M-U-Z. I wish you much, much hatzlacha. Please take a CD and please avail yourself
of the book you mentioned just now.
Who by fire? Who by fire?
Also,
there are books here. Can I trouble you to reach inside that box for one moment and pull one out? So, I'll stop surviving. Okay, so we have Stop Surviving, Start Living, which is really... It's in five languages, yes. It has been translated to French, Spanish, Hebrew, right? Yeah. But it's been very well received. It's the first paragraph of Sil Sharm in, I believe, in 21st century language. Okay, much, much as well.
I've done everything.